This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game, Nashville. App, we're live from the Hill of Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. It is now time for Silly Underdog Picks. Now, our commish, Willie Donick, is out of office.
Yes.
So we have recruited a new commissioner. We welcome in the suit. Commissioner Suit.
Hello.
Hello.
There we go.
What's up? How we doing?
How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Happy to have you in the studio.
I am happy to be here. So I'm picking and I'm playing commissioner.
Ah, there we go.
That is the plan.
What can't he do?
He does.
Well, there's a few things. But that's another show for another day. am I officially bringing in the panel?
Yes, you are. That is your job as commissioner.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll bring in myself. Hello, self. How are you? Derek Mason, Caroline Fenton, George Plaster. Director, how are you?
Hello, Chase. How are you?
You know, I'm doing fantastic. I haven't watched a lick of baseball since our team squandered away being the best team in baseball. Everything's fine.
You know, this one's been a hard one to get over, but I have watched some of the others because I don't want to have that attitude. I'm a baseball fan, and I'll continue to watch.
Well, that's good. I haven't. So I'm still not over
it. So what you're saying, he's better than you, Chase.
I guess so. Let's say hello to Kelly Holcomb. Kelly, how are you?
What's up, Chase? I'm just glad that Willie's gone.
Yeah, I figured you might be. He's in the Big Apple doing something, maybe eating apples for all I know. And then Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, hello, sir. Or is this Dwayne?
I'm doing good, man. I still ain't on the board, so I'm just giving him all right now. That's all I can do.
So are you going to be Dwayne or are you going to be Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to be Chris today, man. Okay. I mean, I watched Jess Duty and it calmed my nerves down, so I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, Dwayne didn't pick too well last week.
Yeah.
So
Caroline, that's mean. Caroline, you've been mean lately.
You might want to put Dwayne in a corner, man.
I didn't pick well either, Chris. So we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We're going to review, and we're going to make this a quick review, unlike Willie, but because only one person here really cares. Caroline Fenton had the first pick last week. She went with the Wyoming Cowboys, a 10.5-point dog at Air Force. And I think you're like, what would you say, 6-1 against the spread?
6-1 against the spread and 0 points in silly underdog.
No points for a cover. Air Force wins 34-27.
I feel like the Arkansas Razorbacks, where they've played every SEC team pretty close and haven't won a game.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like, I've been so close. Just haven't.
So close yet. So far.
So far.
It was the director, George Plaster, picking his old employer, or actually against his old employer, Memphis State against Tulane. Or who'd you pick? You did pick Memphis. 4.5. I can't read Willie's writing. 4.5-point dog. They lose 31-21.
Yeah, they were up double digits early in the second half. It was very bitter.
Mm. Not good. And then I went with our old buddy Trent Dilfer, coaching UAB, a 9.5-point dog, playing UTSA, and they couldn't even cover. So 41-20 was the final there, and I am stuck at 1-6 with my 7.5 points. So George still with the goose egg, and Caroline too. So, you know, that is what it is.
That's all right.
Kelly Holcomb goes with Derek's alma mater, Michigan State.
Man.
4.5 against Rutgers. Wow. 27-24, the final.
Derek, can you explain to me how they lose a 24-6 lead? Can you explain that?
Man, I can't. Because I told Nick I wanted to pick Michigan State, and he said Kelly already picked them. I'm like, darn. Well, yeah, good for me I didn't pick them.
I was hoping to piss you off a little bit, but how do you lose 24-6?
Hey, man, that program at this particular moment is in turmoil right now. It seems like they cannot win a game to save their life.
Then D-Mace, who wasn't even here, was in London across the pond supporting – what team were you supporting?
I was supporting both teams, man.
Okay, I mean, this was the Derek Mason Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I was supporting both teams. You know.
Did you have, like, one half of the Titans jersey, one half of the Ravens jersey?
Nah, I just had on solid black.
Okay.
That's it.
No, that works. Yeah. He goes Iowa, a 9.5 point dog. I mean, you're leading by a mile and you're still picking – you know, big ones, and look, they won 15-9. So he adds to his lead.
Do you think I am on? Because I know Silly Underdogs has been going on for years. Do you think I am on a historical run right now in regards to how far I am from the next person? When you know point wise, I think I'm on. I'm historical right now. I'm on a historical run.
You're on a historical pain in the ass. That's what you are.
Darren McFarland did this. Darren did this a couple of years ago, so you hadn't caught him yet.
Oh, man. So my goal is to catch him. That's my goal now.
Yeah, you ain't going to do that. Good luck.
I propose that Nick Frazier gets those points.
Nah. Nick was picking for me.
Nick was picking for you and picked correct.
Absolutely.
Just reading text messages.
That's all. That's all. Nick and I, eye to eye on this
Nick's
one.
Nick's on the board before I am.
And then Chris goes with Ball State, a 17-point dog to Toledo, and they lose 13-6. So, once again, no points for a cover. Is that a bird? What?
Come on, man. Y'all got an eagle? A bird or something? What's going on?
I thought Derek was the one that had the eagle.
Exactly. I got the eagle. Nobody else.
So the standings are as follows. Derek Mason, we can go ahead and give him the trophy at 4-3, 55.5 points.
It ain't over. Shit.
Kelly Holcomb is in second, 2-5, with 8.5 points. I have been third at 1-6 with 7.5 points. And then tied for fourth. Chris Sanders, George Plaster, Caroline Fenton with 0
goose
points.
Egg.
Zero.
Goose egg is
unreal.
So what you're that saying, they still got a chance.
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, Chase.
Yes, sir.
I think the most disturbing part of the competition is Derek's lack of sportsmanship.
Well,
not only, I mean, I don't have any problem with the fact that he's doing well. He's one of the best Titan wide receivers of all time. You can't name two that are any better than him. But he gets on here every week and wishes for us to all lose. What is that teaching the youth of America?
But I love you guys and girls.
Did you?
Sure you do. Sure. No, you don't love us. You're rooting against us. You're getting more and more like Kelly.
Oh, no.
He's a trash dog.
Oh, man.
You've always been a trash dog.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, this is competition, George. That's what this is, man.
When was class?
D-Mace, have you seen George? He doesn't know anything about competition.
No. All right. So the order will be as follows. It'll be George Plaster picking first, then yours truly, then Kelly Holcomb, then D-Mace, then Chris, and then Caroline with the final pick this week. So let's go ahead and get to the picks for week number 8, and that brings up George Plaster.
Hello, Chase.
Hello, George. What you thinking?
Let's sing a little Rocky Top, shall we?
I knew you were going to do that.
Yes.
He is going with the Vols. Plus +9 against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Did anybody have that?
No.
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, I did.
Whoa, wait a minute. That's one person. Does anybody have that on their list?
No.
I did.
Did you?
I totally did.
What all of you then?
No, I did.
I totally did.
At this point, we've got to go for 10 or up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, that's like when I look through the list, like that's what I look at.
Kelly, we're not going to win the competition. This is for respect.
This is for second.
I mean,
at this point.
You made me right, George, but I'm not giving in.
I know, but Mr. Wynn with no class. I mean, let's just go ahead and crown him and get it over with.
All right, that leads
Penny
us.
Penny Green. Crown them.
Crown them. They are who we thought they were. That leads us to me, Chase McKay.
Behold the king.
Not now.
The king of kings. On your knees.
So, as George said, we're not going to win the competition by any means, but, you know, we're going to go down swinging. And I've decided to turn to an old friend. Maybe it was a friend. I don't know. We're going to try and do this brick by brick.
Oh, man.
God. He was your friend?
Well, that's one of mine, you communist.
Give me...
What a clown.
Give me Butch Jones and Arkansas
goodness.
State plus +10.5 at home,
man,
against Coastal Carolina.
Oh, man. That might have been the best right there.
And let the record show that Kelly has called me a communist.
Oh, man.
Hey, and that leads us to the next pick, which is Kelly Holcomb.
And run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Titan football, Titan.
Okay, well, that was one of the two that I was contemplating, so Chase actually made it easier for me, I guess. I'm going to take Eastern Michigan to beat Northern Illinois then.
Dang it! You're a communist, man! Gosh!
All right, Eastern Michigan is a 12-point dog on the road at Northern Illinois.
Man!
Got to be 10 or over now, man. We gotta make respect. We got to get some respect back, Chase.
Something like that. I think we lost it a while ago. So Eastern Michigan,
did.
A road dog at Northern Illinois. And apparently Derek just wanted to, you know, run the score up at this point and try and take that. So, sorry, Derek.
Man.
And that leads us to Derek Mason.
Go green, go white.
Summer loving, hand me a blast. That's my song, man. I'm telling you. I just win all the time.
I thought it was the other one for
crazy.
You switched it up.
The whole album.
I mean, it's a good album. Good movie.
Cool. All right. I'm going to go to the Big Ten, and I'm going to take Northwestern over Nebraska.
Wow.
Northwestern on the road at Nebraska is an 11.5-point dog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm still swinging, man. I'm still out there playing.
You are that. Still swinging.
I'm
good
still
grief.
Playing.
Full 60 minutes. Mario Cristobal energy.
Hey, I play for 60 minutes, not 59. Not
so you're not taking a knee.
No, never.
You're running the ball.
No,
we're waiting for you to fumble.
Mm-hmm. Just like Miami. Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for you to fumble.
We got glue on our hands. We ain't fumbling.
Stick 'em. You got some stick 'em.
Old school stick 'em.
And now Chris Sanders.
Oh, boy. It ain't looking for me.
Goodbye.
I know. Is it Dwayne you're looking for?
By the way, the fact that this is your voicemail message when you call Chris.
It's the best. It's the best.
Made me very happy.
All right, here we go. This is where I definitely got points. I got Jacksonville State over Western Kentucky.
What makes you think you definitely got points on that?
Because they won already.
Hold on.
I
was about to say, wait a minute.
Hold on.
He doesn't get the.
I'm kidding. Oh, my goodness. I'm going with Stanford over UCLA. 17. Let's go.
Stanford is a 17-point home dog. Mm.
Let's go.
They do this, double overtime energy.
They do this all the time, right, Chris?
Yeah, they do.
They did do that last week. Yeah. I'll give Chris credit there. They did do that last week.
6 years ago.
Chris, I'm going to tell you, I don't hate that. I don't think it's going to win, but I don't hate it.
Hey, that's very encouraging.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. And finally, Caroline Fenton with the final pick.
So it almost feels sacrilegious for me to pick this game with this song, but War Eagle.
Oh,
give me Auburn, 6.5-point dogs hosting Ole Miss this weekend.
Okay, so you're just
in the Hugh Freeze Bowl,
and it is the Hugh Freeze Bowl,
the home burner dog. Phone bowl, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Home dog. Auburn, and as Rick Merritt says, home dogs bark louder.
At Jordan Hare, especially.
Yes. Auburn, a 6.5-point home dog against Ole Miss.
I'm not trying to eclipse T-Mays. I'm just trying to get on the board.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is it's respect. It's for respect at this point. All right, with that, the picks are in. Let us review. George Plaster, let us off. He is going to Rocky Top, even though it's in Tuscaloosa. But he's taking the Vols, a 9-point dog on the road against Alabama. I had the second pick. Speaking of Rocky Top, former head coach Butch Jones going brick by brick, taking Arkansas State, a 10.5-point dog on the road at Coastal Carolina. Kelly Holcomb didn't like it that I took that pick because that was one of his. So he goes Eastern Michigan, 12-point dog on the road at Northern Illinois. Derek Mason wanted to.
Has no pregame show, by the way.
No pregame. They will join at the kick. The kicker will be running towards the ball, and they will come into the broadcast. Derek Mason was next. He wanted Kelly's pick because he wants to pad his lead. So he goes Northwestern, 11.5 on the road at Nebraska, trying to just add to that 55.5 because, you know, he's a jerk. Chris Sanders was up next, trying to get on the board. He goes Stanford, plus 17 versus UCLA at home. So a home dog there, and then Caroline Fenton, also trying to get on the board, takes a home dog in Auburn, War Eagle, plus 6.5 against Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Those are the picks. You know what? I messed something up as our commissioner. I didn't give our winner from our online contest. You can play online by going to thegamenashville.com, and let me see if I can find those real quick. But gentlemen and lady, good luck.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't mean it, Chase.
I do. I'm actually sincere.
Well, as I say every week, I wish each and every one of you lose your game this week.
D-Mace, go take a nap and watch Grease.
Hey, I feel like taking a nap.
You know what? Michigan is going to stuff it up your butt.
Well, that would make us all very happy.
Man, but I'm still going to get the victory, I believe.
And you would appreciate, in your absence last week,
yes,
Nick Frazier took it upon himself to let everyone know that he hopes everyone loses.
Exactly. I did say that for you.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate
it.
He
did. Yes.
Wyoming at Air Force was the most picked game last week by our listeners, by the way. And John Call had a score of 32 and was the winner. So congratulations.
Congratulations, John.
He picked an NFL game, actually.
Okay.
It was one that Derek was at.
Yeah. There you go.
So there you go. Congratulations to Derek. He'll probably hit another one. And good luck, everybody else.
Thank you, Chaser.
See y'all.
I love all y'all.
Have a good one.
Chase, appreciate you being our commissioner today.
Yeah.
Have a good job.
Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you so much. Chase. We plan on it.
Carry on.
And that's what I want to get to coming up next is what our callers and texters have been clamoring for weeks now. And we heard it in the text line today. We discussed it yesterday, heard it in the text line yesterday. And I'm not quite on board for it yet. I can't quite get there, you know, doing a cannonball into the pool of this belief of going and moving forward to Will Levis. I know that all the Titans fans want that because it's we want to see what we've got in this young guy. We need to see if he's the guy. I get it. I hear ya. And coming up next, we'll discuss it. And a little bit of support on my side of why I'm apprehensive to do so. And we'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your calls and texts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. And also, speaking of silly underdog picks, you can make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. Play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 8 of college football and week 7 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast will join us in 30 minutes. Elliot joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock throughout the hockey season, so excited to have him back on board and back in the fold. But I want to start where a lot of Titans fans are right now. And a lot of Titans fans, especially given Tannehill's injury, are ready to move on to Will Levis. That at this point in the season, you're ready to trade away assets. At this point in the season, you're ready to rebuild and pivot for the future. And part of the future is Will Levis. You want to see what you got. You know, he's the new shiny toy. He traded up in the second round to get Will Levis. I think we can all agree at right now, at this point in time, Will Levis is your future franchise quarterback. I understand. The most popular person in the world is the backup quarterback, especially when, one, the starting quarterback is hurt, or two, the starting quarterback isn't playing very well, and three, when the starting quarterback was drafted with a high-round pick. I get it. I totally understand. But I've pushed back on that a good bit. If Ryan Tannehill's getting injured behind this offensive line, and Ryan Tannehill is struggling to win games, to get the ball in the end zone, then I don't think Will Levis is going to do much better. And I understand that the point is, well, it's not about winning games. It's about getting him experience. It's about seeing what you got in your guy. And I get that too. But Charles Robinson was on with Robbie and Rexroad this morning and kind of showed and pointed out exactly why I'm so apprehensive to put Will Levis out there. This was Charles Robinson this morning with Robbie and Rexroad.
There's certainly an element of confidence that you would like to be able to instill in him and give him the fairest shot possible. And if, you know, the offensive line is playing the way that it is, you're a little nervous about that. I would relate it to a conversation I had with the Jets about Zach Wilson right in the midst of them trading for Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, people in that building were like, we should have redshirted him year one. Like, that was our mistake. Like, we never should have put him out there when we knew we were not going to be able to put our best foot forward around him. It really screwed up his confidence significantly. So, you know, I do think if you feel like there is a danger of damaging some level of someone's, you know, progression as a player, and confidence is really a big part. I don't like tools. It's similar to Zach Wilson that you're going to look at Will Levis and we're going to go, the tools aren't the problem. Like if there's a problem, it is everything else but the tools. And it can be fragile, you know, mentally, like getting a guy in there and getting them some success, giving them time to work. They're not everybody's going to be like Indianapolis where you can throw, you know, Richardson in there and he gets off to the start that he does. And then you're able to maintain that. Well, we saw with Indianapolis, he got himself hurt. There were times where they're designing things that are getting him hurt. There are times where he's putting himself in a position to get hurt. And you now look back and you go, yeah, probably would have been a better deal if you had redshirted him. But I do think the reasons why they didn't are sort of the same reasons why maybe you don't want to with Levis. It's not just the games. It's the practice weeks, too. You know, it's being able to have the entirety of the week where the snaps are yours. The game planning is around you. It's just a different experience when you're a starter versus being a backup and you're getting limited snaps. You're doing a lot of mental reps and just sort of watching versus doing.
And that's the root of my apprehension for putting Will Levis out there. Ruining his confidence behind an awful offensive line. Of throwing him to the wolves, so to speak. Of you're going from being quarterback number three on the depth chart to now you're the guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I trust this offense around Will Levis to, one, protect him. To, two, protect his confidence. And, three, show a fair evaluation of really where Will Levis is and what he can be.
Okay. Charles Robinson laid out, some examples. Wilson. That is a separate situation because not only – you got to look at it from this standpoint. Richardson in New York, that was, if it didn't go right, it was bound to, he was going to go through it because you're in the biggest market, biggest media market in the U.S.
Yeah.
So everything is, it's like quantified even more. It's like whatever you do times whatever. If you're doing good, they're going to pump it up. Yeah, they're going to pump it up and they're going to say you're the next coming of Tom Brady. If you do bad, they say, man, you're the worst thing that ever played the position. And that's where Wilson found himself. Mm-hmm. He was the worst quarterback to ever play the position. And I know that's not true, but the numbers and where he's playing football at stated that he was the worst quarterback ever. So when you put a young guy in that situation, you better be careful. You better because the media and the fan base will tear him down.
Local and national.
Exactly. Local and national.
Yeah.
I can put my young quarterback in if I'm in Indianapolis. I could put my young quarterback in if I'm in Houston. I could put my young quarterback in if I'm in Carolina.
Soft markets, is that
soft markets. Truly. Yeah. Soft markets.
Yeah, not and New York or Philly. Not
New
or
York,
Boston.
Philly, Boston, LA.
And even not in these, LA, if you're bad, yeah, nobody cares about you.
It's just
you.
Like, we'll just move on.
Yeah, right.
We but got in stuff. Those other places, they're going to talk about you and they're going to consistently talk about you. Will Levis is not in one. Is not in those markets. He's more in the softer market where they're going to give him a little bit of leeway. And to me, and this is just me, if you're that fragile as a player, I don't need you on my team. Because you're not going to have, every day is not going to be great. You got to be able to withstand whatever's being said about you because on one hand, they will talk bad about you, but the minute you throw three touchdowns, now it's hooray, here we go. You got to have, your confidence level got to supersede what's going on around you. You can't be in a situation, especially as a quarterback, to allow those around you, what they're saying, to mess with your confidence. Either you got it or you don't. Some quarterbacks do, some quarterbacks don't. It doesn't matter if you're doing well or you're not, okay? Somebody like Peyton Manning threw a million interceptions. He didn't let that get to him. He kept going. I know Peyton is a different story.
Yeah.
But you can look at quarterbacks through the history of the NFL. Geno Smith, another one. Geno Smith wasn't a high draft. He wasn't a first rounder. He was a second rounder. Had he let all of that negativity weigh on him, he wouldn't be the starting quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks right now.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is this. I can't worry about what the fans are going to say about a player if he's not playing well. I got to, as a head coach, I got to do what I need to do to make sure that, one, I see whether this guy can play or not. I can't hold him back in fear of, oh, man, we may damage him forever. Mm-hmm. No, I can't, because if that's the case, then I'm never going to put him in the game, because he has to play sometime.
And my point is,
and you're not going to get this offensive line straight. This is not going to go from the worst offensive line to the best offensive line next year unless you spend the money. Mm-hmm. Like, unless you go out in free agency and spend the money. And we know that's not going to happen.
If you want to protect your assets.
Exactly. So, to me, I'm not worried about it. I believe that, hell, if Malik Willis' confidence wasn't shot after last year, then I don't expect Levis's confidence to be shot if we put him in the game this year.
Did we know that it wasn't?
Judging by the way he came back, no, it wasn't. Is he still the finished product? No, he's not. Is he still going to make mistakes? Yes, he will. But he looks like a different quarterback than what he was last year.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
Against Baltimore?
Okay. Again.
I didn't think that he looked...
You put him in a situation where you're going against a very aggressive defense. You're already down more than two or close to two scores. Last minute of the game, what do you expect him to do?
He took four sacks on five plays.
I understand that, but he also was four for five.
The clock was winding down, and he didn't go out of bounds.
I get that. This is the problem that we have. We pick and choose little things about certain things. Every player may have done that once upon a time in their career. Hell, I forgot the game I was watching last week where a guy should have went out of bounds, and he didn't, and it was a veteran guy. He didn't go out of bounds. So those mistakes are going to be had. You just hope that the next time he gets in that situation, he knows to step out of bounds. A young guy is going to make mistakes. You just hope that he doesn't continue to make those mistakes. Malik Willis didn't. He got in that game. He wasn't throwing an interception. By all means, one thing he wasn't going to do is put the ball in harm's way. That's why he probably took the sacks that he took, because he didn't want to put the ball in harm's way, because what has been said about him? You throw too many interceptions. You don't look like you know what's going on. So he goes into the game and said, first thing I'm going to do is not throw an interception. He went 4 for 5. I know he took the sacks. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't step out of bounds. But no one can tell me that he looked like the same quarterback that he did last year, because last year he would have just threw the ball around the yard and it would have been picked off 3 or 4 times.
I thought during training camp and during the preseason that Malik Willis looked like an improved quarterback from last year.
He is an improved quarterback.
Not a finished product.
No.
In the slightest.
And he's probably not even. He still doesn't. And he probably is not even to the level where he can be a legitimate backup yet right now. But he's not making those same mistakes consistently that he made last year. I'm just talking about progress.
Yeah.
Now I look at Will Levis. I'm like, okay, I need to see what I have in this quarterback. I really do. If the season gets to a point where we're not making the playoffs, it looks like we're clearly not making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So you're going to hold your young quarterback back. And what you're going to do, put Malik Willis in and put him under that situation too? My thing is, I want to see what I have. If this is my future, Will Levis, I need to see what I have. If I've, in my mind, as an organization, made that decision, mm-hmm. we're turning the page right now. I don't know when that's going to be. But I'm saying, if they make it after the Atlanta game.
Yeah.
Well, put him in there and then run the offense around him. Max protect if you have to. Vray Roberts said, we don't want to get into a drop back game. All right, hand the ball off. And if it means that we only put up 200 yards, the total offense, 150, 300 yards, then so be it. Mm-hmm. But I am doing what I think is best for this young man in order for him to advance in this league.
But my thing is, we need to see what we have. Mm-hmm. How do you know? How will you know what you have? Let's say Will Levis comes in, you know, mm-hmm. against Atlanta, and then he's your quarterback for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And it's an 11-game sample size against a piss-poor offensive line. And that also is with an asterisk of, we don't know what kind of weapons he's going to have to throw to, mm-hmm. depending on what this team decides to do at the trade deadline. What kind of evaluation can you make?
This team may not be in a position to do anything because no one wants what you're willing to give up. I'm saying
that's a total, totally depending on what they decide to do at the trade deadline. But I'm just saying if you trade away some pieces, let's say if you trade away D-Hop and Derrick Henry. I'm just saying if. He's got an awful offensive line with a rookie running back, Chris Moore and Nick Westbrook Akine, maybe Treylon Burks if he can stay healthy. What kind of evaluation can you make of him? And you mentioned the media, and that's a very fair point of, you know, you need to block out the noise. In any position that faces the public, heck, in our jobs, we have to ignore what's said about us on Twitter. So you need to get past that. But it's also just his own mentality of getting out there and thinking, oh my God, am I going to get killed on this play? Like, I don't want my future franchise quarterback to be going in to a situation where he's thinking, when am I going to get killed?
Well, if that's what he's thinking, he's not my quarterback. He's not. If he's going out there thinking, this offensive line, I'm scared to get hit. You're not my quarterback then. Matter of fact, I'm putting Malik Willis in, and then I'm getting ready to draft Caleb Williams, Drake May, Penix, one of those guys, Shador, if he comes out. I'm looking if indeed that's what he gets into the huddle thinking. Because if you get in the huddle thinking that, you defeated already. I don't need you a part of my team if that's what you're thinking. I'm just giving it to you from a guy that has played that sport at a high level. If you go in thinking, oh my God, here we go, then I don't need you on my team. I need you to go in thinking, I'm the guy that's going to fix this. Regardless of what's around me, I'm standing there and I'm going to fix it. Will Levis, if indeed the Titans are ready to move on from Tannehill and they're ready to turn over that new leaf and start this thing over, then why not put the young man in there?
To protect him.
And protect him from what? You got to put him out there one day.
Wait, yes. But so not when he's a rookie him? And he's your third string quarterback
So you're going to put
him. Who got hurt in the preseason and missed out on a lot of time.
And you're right. And you're absolutely right about that. So we're going to develop him next year.
You develop him now.
That's what I'm saying. You develop him now, which means.
By throwing him out there against an offensive line that Mike Vrabel told you can't pass protect?
You're not just throwing him out there. What you're doing is if you believe in Tim Kelly and you believe, as everybody said, they believe in Mike Vrabel, but it seems like they're turning their back on him a little bit now, that he's going to do what's necessary to protect his young quarterback. Maybe he thought, like, listen, Ryan Tannehill is a veteran guy, so he knows when to release the ball. He knows what to do. So I can probably, you know, not protect him in a sense like that, like I would a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. I can run my offense a little bit more because I know my veteran quarterback, if it ain't there, he's going to throw the ball away. Or he's just going to fall down, take the sack. But he's not going to put the ball in harm's way. And we're not going to damage his psyche any. Because Ryan's a tough son of a gun, as we know. To me, if you put your young quarterback in, we got to trust that Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel are going to say, okay, this is what we have moving forward. We got our young quarterback. We want to see some development in him. How do we do that? All right, this is what we're going to make our offense. Now, I know what it was prior to him coming in, but this is what it's going to be now. Whether we match protect if we're going to pass or we do certain, you know, schemes in a running game that's going to open it up a little bit more. But you protect your young quarterback by leaving extra guys in. Now you know you have to. Just exactly the same thing that Indianapolis was doing with Richardson. They were even though their offensive line is a little bit better. But that's because he chose to run. He didn't get hurt in the pocket. That's just like Lamar Jackson. People were saying, "Well,
the decision that he made that got him hurt, and now he's under the knife and out for the rest of the season."
I understand, but there was nothing there. So we're trying to protect on the what if. We can't protect on the what if. We got to just let these guys go out here and play. Again, I'm working under the premise.
What if am I protecting?
What if he runs?
What if he runs? This offensive line is awful.
But what I'm saying, we can't look at it from the what if. What if he runs? Well, what if he just stays in the pocket?
Then he gets drilled.
Okay, what if you put Malik Willis in and then Malik Willis gets hurt? You're going to have to go to him anyway.
Yeah.
So but, I want to see
a difference between throwing out Will Levis and then having to put Will Levis in there because he's the not, quarterback.
In either way, you would be throwing him in there, whether you're throwing him in there now or later.
It's a calculated decision versus a decision.
It still would be a
into.
Calculated decision now. You're on a bye week. Your starting quarterback is hurt. It's still a calc. Now you got more time to really put in a game plan, to let him practice a whole week before he even gets to a game, see what he looks like in practice. Let's make sure he knows the plays, commands the huddle. Now we put him out there the second week, going into a week of Atlanta. Now we put together the game. We've had 2 weeks to put together a game plan to protect this young quarterback. If Vrabel and Tim Kelly can't do that, they don't need to be on this coaching staff.
It's not Vrabel and Tim Kelly. I don't trust anyone on that team to protect the quarterback. You can max protect all day long. I still don't trust him.
But again, I cannot work from the premise of, oh my goodness, something may happen. If I believe this guy is my future, I got to see what it is. Because if I don't see what it is, next year I throw him in there and it's a disaster. Then everybody's saying, well, you should have put him in there last year.
But
you should have let him play last
year.
You
know what it is my
You
thing.
Don't. So you got to put him out there.
So put him out there and figure out what you got.
Yes, you. When are
How
you?
How are you going to figure out what you have?
Because
How?
Of his play, it's not about wins or losses.
No,
it's
I
about,
know.
It's about incremental.
So his play when his ass is on the ground because this offensive line
he's
can't
not
protect
gonna,
him.
He's not going to get
a rookie quarterback.
He's not going to get sacked 100 times. He's going to get sacked. That's just the way the NFL
Malik
works.
Malik got sacked 4 times on 5 snaps.
Exactly. Absolutely. You're playing different teams. I get it. But and also you have 2 weeks. To prepare for a game. So I would think that you would do enough so he won't get sacked 5 games. You run the ball 30, 40 times. You throw the ball 15 times if you get that many plays. But you throw the ball 15 times.
You might not get
that many plays. But that's the way you operate. If you look at these young quarterbacks, there's a way that you win with them early as they develop. And every team does it. You run the football. I know, well, what if they trade Derrick Henry? Well, you can still turn the ball and give it to Tajay Spears, and they'll bring another back in there, big, heavy back, so he can get the dirty yards.
It just won't have Derrick Henry
exactly.
to hand the ball off to. But you can still run it with Tajay Spears.
You got to protect him by running the football. You can't be scared to throw him out there because you're going to have to throw him out there eventually. And this offensive line is not going to go from the worst to the first in a year.
No, it's
or a
not.
Draft.
But it can get better.
It can get better,
and
absolutely.
He can get better. His development can get better.
You're absolutely right, but his development can get better also by playing him in these games, bringing him along very, very slowly. It may look like Fisher ball. That's what it may look like.
And it doesn't have to be run.
And yeah, it doesn't have to be pretty. But if he's going out there and he's getting better in practice and he's getting incrementally better each and every game, we may not win another game. But if I see my young quarterback is getting better, he's learning the offense, he's understanding what defenses and how they play, that's what I'm looking for. He's going to get knocked on his ass a few times. I understand that. But he better be able to get up and go as well. Because if he can't get up and go, you're not my quarterback.
But how is Anthony Richardson's development right now?
Anthony Richardson hurt. But he was But he was developing. We saw the development
and
there.
And now the development has been completely stunted because he's getting surgery and he's out for the season.
But again, if Indianapolis operated on the premise of he may get hurt, he wouldn't be the quarterback. He wouldn't have started this year. But Indianapolis says, you know what? No.
Well, he's not starting this year.
They said, we need to see if this young guy can play. Football is a physical, hard sport. Everybody gets hurt in this sport. It just depends on how hurt are you and how long will you be out.
Yes. And it's everyone gets hurt in this sport. It's a tough sport. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at through the lens of a rookie quarterback that is developing and that you are developing into be the future of your franchise.
Nobody does that anymore.
And maybe that's a problem because there are some crap quarterbacks in this league. Some crap quarterbacks. We'll continue the conversation coming up next and, of course, get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie D. May is 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. May. Say, Elliot Friedman will join us here in just a few moments. We're talking Will Levis. Do you put the young gun in? Do you let him sit? I just am so fearful of throwing him out there and just throwing him to the wolves and having your evaluation possibly on a curve because this offensive line can't protect anybody. But I want to get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One of my absolute favorites, Chris Titans and Truth, is on the line. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Caroline, how you doing?
D-Mate,
how you doing, sir?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, now, I know I've probably said this before, but I'll put it like this. Caroline, I can kind of understand your fear of Will Levis being in there, and I'll kind of change it up with this. I am more afraid with the coaching staff than I am the offensive line, and this is why I say that, because we've seen last year they put Malik Willis in a position to fail. Why I say that? Because they never ran the offense to Malik Willis's strength. Malik is more of a running quarterback. What you could do for that, you could probably put him in situations where he can roll out of the pocket, roll the pocket out, maybe do some read option, give him some quick, easy throws that he's got to get rid of the ball, but you give him things that can put him in an advantageous situation. The coaching staff never did that. I am afraid they will do the same thing to Will Levis, too, put him in a position to fail. Now, Will Levis will take more shots downfield. I give you that. Now, the offensive line I have to protect, but I'm worried more about this coaching staff because I just don't think this coaching staff is good enough to help these young quarterbacks and put them in a position to be successful.
Chris, you're the best. Appreciate you for calling in.
Thank you.
Chris makes a very fair point. Mm-hmm. But if the fan base is at a point where they don't trust the coaching staff to develop young players, especially a quarterback, yikes.
Yeah. And now, if this was last year's, because I wasn't high on the quarterback's coach last year, this year, Charles London, I do believe that he's capable, more than capable, of developing, these quarterbacks. Malik Willis did get better, but he's still borderline, backup third-string quarterback in this league. That's just where he's
at.
Maybe
that's where he is.
And that's where he continues to be. I don't know.
And if that's his ceiling and you can get him to a ceiling, then you understand that that's what he is.
Exactly. So I got faith in Charles London to make sure that these quarterbacks are getting exactly what they need from from a progression standpoint, learning his offense, learning in NFL, learning defenses. Again, if I got to put Will Levis in, and I understand the trepidation of, do I put him in there? He get hurt. Mm-hmm. I get all the offensive lines.
I understand that you can't play football scared, but you also can't play football stupid.
Yeah, so you got to find, because eventually you got to throw this young man in there. You're going to have to put him in.
I mean, you're not going to put him in bubble wrap for the rest of his career.
You can't protect him forever.
Yeah.
But what you try to do is when you do put him in, you got to put him in a situation where you can see some progression. And that may be not throwing the ball a lot, but that he has the command over the offense, that he has a command over the huddle, that those guys believe in him and what he can potentially do. If they see that in him, then okay, we got our guy. But until then, you don't know what you got.
We'll get back into the conversation, but coming up next, we will chat with Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Preds got that butt whooped the other night against the Oilers, but they'll get an opportunity for redemption against the Rangers on the road in New York. Elliot Friedman coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.